The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello everyone and welcome to edition 260 of the NRF1 podcast, Because Norfolk Knows Formula 1. A very happy new Formula 1 year to you. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are, as always, sat at the iconic Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich. We are going out on all our usual podcast channels, and at the start of our ninth year of action, we are here to preview the 2020 Formula 1 season, providing it all goes ahead. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Hello there, good evening to you. Joining us on tonight's pod, we have two times Beccles Cart champion Carl Cumbers.
Good evening.
And Damon Hill radical and blogger Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
How are we both, gents? Are we well? How are you, Carl? Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, all good. Looking forward to the new season. Everything's all good.
That's good. We had a good weekend, didn't we, on Sunday?
Yeah, little kart race, little 2 hour endurance. 17 at the end.
Yeah, so. We started 16th.
Yes, we did, yeah. Although we were told 13th.
Yeah.
I remember lining up on the grid and I was like, there's nobody behind me.
I don't know what happened there because I was definitely wrong. And we were the only other team to lead the race.
True. Just sort of. Well, you did.
You took us in the wet to the front of the.
Yes,
the pack.
Before we pitted, sort of like
before we ditched you, yeah.
So it must have been about 20 minutes in. So,
I mean, I'm reeling from the fact that I posted our team's fastest lap.
Yeah, very impressive. Yeah.
I'm desperate to get back in a car.
Was it 54.9?
Yeah, under 55 seconds at Ella Park, which is brilliant. And the event was raising money for Community Sports Foundation and the Nest, so that was all very exciting and lots of fun. We've done it the last 3 years, I think, haven't we?
Yeah. So. There's quite a few professional teams there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
With clipboards and headsets. And,
and very, very competitive people like Norwich City Sporting Director and a friend of the podcast, Stuart Webber, and Charlotte Foster, who also works at the football club, who's like a kart champion when she was younger, probably better than you, I'm afraid, Carl, probably. proper karting champion. She said she hadn't driven in 8 years, but her shoes were definitely not eight years old.
Yeah. They're pretty brand new.
It's good fun. And Rich, you've done it with us in past years, not this year, but you were missed.
Yeah, I couldn't make it this year because we just moved house. So
very busy with moving house.
Yeah, very busy. We literally moved in the start of February. And we've been moving in gradually. So we're still not fully there. I've still got to set up a computer and lots of other boxes and stuff to unpack, but we're getting there. So,
good luck with it. It's a good thing to do.
Most important thing, will you be able to watch the race?
Yes, we've planned it perfectly. So our internet arrived today, the equipment, and it turns on Thursday. Just in time for Friday to be able to watch it on Sky Go that we're sponging from my girlfriend's parents. So it's all good.
It's almost as if it was planned. I love it. Brilliant stuff. Well, before we get stuck into some preview chat, thanks for joining us. Wherever you're listening, you may well be on Audio Boom, all manner of podcast players like Spotify and where have you. Thank you for that. Or, of course, you may be on Patreon. Thanks as well for joining us. Thank you very much for your patience last year. It was quite a big year for us last year. I think I've been through, you know, considering we've been doing this for 9 years now, I've been through quite a lot. I've had two kids. Well, my wife has had two kids anyway, and I've been one of the beneficiaries of that. And I've also changed job, which has been very exciting. I wasn't expecting to be here tonight, but I'm really glad I am. It's worth pointing out that this year, our sole aim, really, we've had some big ideas in the past, but our sole aim this year is to make sure that the pod continues, that we still get together in Norfolk to talk about Formula One in a county that has huge Formula One expertise and knowledge and huge, passionate fans about the sport. This place is, of course, home to Group Lotus and Team Lotus back in the day. And all manner of drivers have driven for Norfolk teams on their way to becoming Formula One drivers. So we know what we're talking about. We love what we're talking about. And as I said, our sole aim 9 years on since we started is to make sure this podcast still provides post-race chat and we just get to talk about the sport we love. So thank you for your support in doing that. Our format this year is that we will be recording a big, long podcast that will be available at Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. And that will be available to our patrons who are supporting us. Thank you so much for that. And then there will be an abridged version that you'll be able to hear for free. That'll be on Audio Boom and all the usual free channels. If you want to listen to them, the full fat each podcast each week, you can become a patron. You can find all the details over at patreon.com. and join us there and help support the podcast. We may not be going full in with a prediction league this year. We probably will do some predictions for fun and we'll figure out what we're going to do over the course of the year. Kyle's nodding. Kyle is a bit of a spreadsheet guru, so we're hoping he'll come up with some genius way. So bear with us on that. It won't be probably as involved as it has been in the past, but we'll do our best. It does mean that we probably won't be offering prizes. I can assure you we're still working through last year's details. I haven't forgotten. I know it's horribly unprofessional, but we are working through it. We will make sure, I can assure you, that people who have earned their prizes will get their prizes and we will work it all out. It will definitely happen. You're just going to need to be patient with us, but I can assure you it will happen as soon as possible. There we are. I think that is all the business, all the official stuff. Let's get on with the chat and let's get on with the talk of testing 2020. How closely have we been following testing? Testing's very exciting. We've had all the car launches. We know what the driver lineups are. I mean, it feels like car launches haven't really been a big thing in Formula One for a few years now, so they sort of come and go. And we know what the kind of background noise is with coronavirus and COVID-19 and all those sort of things. But let's concentrate on testing, the times. What was your key takeaway from testing, Kyle?
Mercedes are quick.
How quick? Are you worried? Go on, be honest.
What, worried they'll be dominant?
Yeah.
Yes. Last year we all thought Ferrari were going to run away with it, and then suddenly Mercedes win the first so many races. I can't remember now. But so there's always that thing. It's only testing. You never know. But they do look good. They bring in new DAS dual axis steering.
Ooh, do you want to explain to us what it is if anyone doesn't know? To me, it looks like they sort of push down on the steering wheel, or does the steering wheel push down for them? I can't work it out. And that alters the direction of the wheels, so it gives them better cornering in layman's terms.
They seem to do it coming onto the straight. So naturally, most racing or Formula 1 cars have toe out for cornering.
Toe out, what does that mean?
It's quite hard to, it's hard to explain.
Does that mean the wheels slightly point away from each other?
Imagine vertical lines and it's like backslashing forward slash.
Basically. So it's like skis. I saw a ski analogy.
Yes, so I stole this from Mark Hughes. The front wheels are lined with toe out, which simply means that they splay out at the bottom away from the centre of the car.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like you'd separate your skis.
Yeah. So obviously that helps the cornering. But there's a little bit of drag in the straight, and it doesn't always mean the tyres warm evenly. So people believe, obviously, because Mercedes haven't come out and told us exactly, that it will help a little bit of drag and evenly warm the tyres down the straight. What it may do other things, and it may evolve. We don't really know, but I just think it's pretty damn cool.
It's really clever.
To have a moving steering wheel and such back and forth.
So we don't know if the drivers are instigating it. The drivers must be.
Yes, there is. Yeah. So they sort of pull out, and then before they're into the corner, they then
pushed back in and everything back to normal.
I suppose it's kind of a natural movement, though, that occurs, because when you brake hard, your body weight is moving forward. Obviously, their harness is so tight in, but their arms are still able to move. So I suppose it must come quite naturally for their arms to move forward. And then when they accelerate, their arms to come towards them like that as well. It seems quite a natural movement. But it just reminds me, if you have quite a modern car where you flick the lever and you can adjust your steering up and down and in and out, it's just that. But it moves the wheels.
But you wouldn't want to do that 200 mile an hour, though, would you?
No,
that'd be a bit. That'd be a bit unnerving.
They sort of, like Bottas and Hamilton, like, yeah, it's fine. We just Formula One. That's what happens. But that must be a little bit unnerving. Just like, okay, you got pulls, which also you pull the steering wheel to release it as well. They're quite happy to.
Yeah,
that's a natural thing of them, isn't it? Turn the wheel out and move it, and that's kind of a.
Well, let's hope it doesn't just come off in their hands halfway down the street.
That was something. A little clip I saw. If you remember the old Top Gear episodes of James May. And everyone, and the limos episode where James May had the limo, the steering wheel came off, and it's basically someone said when Williams tried to copy the system, and I was just like, that's harsh, but it did make me laugh.
Good old Williams, who weren't quite as slow. That's a little sideline.
They, I think they're just sixth or seventh quickest time. So
they were positive
hopefully
noises.
Hopefully they're involved in the midfield.
That would be good. Yeah, just to do that. Just going back to Mercedes. I mean, it's interesting. Was it DAS? Good. Which I'm sure has been done lots. I mean, the interesting thing with this is they brought it in, and the FIA have immediately gone, yeah, that's banned for next year. So you're kind of like, well, okay. What you're saying is it's not legal, yet you're giving them a whole year. Because presumably they found a loophole and have got away with it?
Yeah, well, they've been speaking to the FIA for a good while now. So apparently that was in the rules before we even knew. So if anybody had been actually looking at the rules closely, they may have realised that the team were doing it. So, but I think it's a little bit of a shame. But I mean, it'd be interesting to see, if it does evolve and if Mercedes are getting huge advantage out of it. But maybe, I suppose, just say costing money, isn't it? So I suppose just saving the small teams from spending a fortune trying to copy them. But I think we just enjoy it for this year and see how it evolves.
What did you take away from the testing, Rich?
It was quite exciting, I thought. The Force India seems to have been a copy and paste job from. Sorry, I can't say Force India, can I? It's Racing Point.
What are we even calling them now? Are they next year? They're something else?
They're Aston Martin for next year, so we can kind of call them. One of three things, really, can't we? Just to go from Air Force India, Racing Point, Aston Martin.
One of those.
The pink team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they seem to have done a bit of a copy and paste job from last year's Mercedes, but they looked pretty quick. To the extent Perez was saying it's potentially the best car he's going to start a season with, which seems odd considering he had a year at McLaren. obviously a different era, but still, that's quite exciting. And then, obviously, you've got McLaren trying to step forward, the new Toro Rosso team, AlphaTauri and Alfa Romeo, they're all trying to take a step forward. So it's going to be interesting to see who wins the midfield battle. I couldn't say who's going to be honest, but I hope it's close.
Yeah, absolutely. AlphaTauri, who are they?
AlphaTauri.
Which one's that?
Toro Rosso.
That's Toro Rosso.
Yes, it's AlphaTauri or AlphaTauri. Depends what part of Europe you're from, I think.
Okay. AlphaTauri.
Alpha with a PH.
We'll ask Alex, he'll know. Alessandro and stuff. Oh my god. Obviously. Okay.
What did you say in that accent?
That's what I always say. That's just his name, surely. Cool. Well, there we go. That is testing probably in a nutshell.
I did actually watch quite a bit of it on Sky because it was broadcast on there. It was actually quite interesting, actually. The most interesting was just the chat in the commentary box.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite a good thing to. And obviously, we wouldn't have known about the deaths if testing hadn't been broadcast.
That's very true. And it's interesting because Formula One seems a little bit caught in this hold on with us for another year because next year we'll be changing all the rules. There seems to be an element of that to their coverage. It's like, wait until 2021. And are we going to sort of suffer with that a little bit this year?
I'm hoping it'll be a good season. What often happens is the year before a big regulation change, it's a pretty close season. Although that hasn't happened too much recently. But I hope it's close. I hope the teams have something to fight for. I mean, there was lots of mixed reports, people saying Ferraris are slower on the straights and faster through the corners. They're saying they're not as quick in qualifying, but their race pace is on par with Mercedes. But then Red Bull were saying their race pace is level with Ferrari. and it's like you don't know who to listen to, and there's a lot of talk, but you never really get a full understanding, to be honest, probably until the third race of the season.
No, it's true, and it's always, yeah, I mean, the thing is we have stages now, don't we? Because the first bit will be practice, free practice in Australia, but really after that it's about qualifying, and then you get a little clue, obviously, in FP3.
Australia's its own
kind of world, isn't it?
It you can never judge from Albert Park because the nature of the circuit is... It's not until you really get to what's usually the Chinese Grand Prix, where it's a kind of traditional circuit, but of course that's not happening this year.
Well, so China's not happening, and before that is Bahrain, which will be held in front of no spectators.
Yeah, so the 200 that were going can't go.
Touché. We will be talking about coronavirus in a moment. But there are loads of ways to get in touch with us here at the NRF1 podcast in this new 2020 season. The best place to start is patreon.com/NRF1, where you'll also find the full edition of this podcast, including our Of the Weekend Awards, Norfolk Notebook, and NRF1 Pit Stops. If you're listening to us right now on Patreon, those are on their way. For social media, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The handle for all three is @TheNRF1. And email us, we love getting them. The email address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Right, at this point we would get stuck into some or any of the major F1 news that's round or about. I think the one thing we need to talk about is coronavirus, because it's hot on the lips of everyone in and outside of sport. I, of course, am working full time for The Athletic now. I'm covering football. I have no idea what the rest of the football season is going to look like. And in those situations, we're talking about, you know, travelling around, generally around the country. Some football clubs are, of course, travelling into Europe and things like that. And we've got the European Championships coming up, which will be a bit of European travel. We don't know how that season's going to pan out. You know, we don't know if games are going to be behind closed doors or whichever, or just cancelled. And then we have, obviously, normal life going on. What we also have is Formula One, where you have hundreds of thousands of people generally, maybe not so much in Bahrain, getting together for a Grand Prix race weekend. And quite clearly, we just don't know how this is going to pan out. At the moment, Melbourne is open as per normal, although Miley Cyrus isn't now doing her gig on medical advice. So, you know, how does that figure? Which is kind of the issue. But Melbourne has effectively said, look, we can't afford not to host the race. So, well, that's immediately not an objective decision. Bahrain, then, in 2 weeks, no supporters will be there, no spectators will be there, but of course all the teams will be there. Ferrari are all currently in Australia, but they probably couldn't get back into Italy if they wanted to, because the country's in lockdown. They'd probably ask for permission, but, you know, then you're in a difficult position in terms of, do they let you back out again? And of course, China, which would have been the third Grand Prix, has literally been postponed. We've got the Vietnam Grand Prix for the first time this year in Hanoi, and we don't know if that's going ahead yet. And of course, at some point in September, Formula One will be in Italy for the Italian Grand Prix, which, you know, it only feels like a few months in advance, but goodness knows where we'll be in months. And sadly, the situation is massive speculation. We don't know what's going to happen. There is quite a lot of scaremongering, yet there are a lot of people who are genuinely worried about what things look like and their health and what coronavirus will do and what it is. So we're in quite an awkward situation, really. And I think it's unreasonable to think that this isn't going to have major implications for the season as it is on all of our everyday lives.
Yeah, definitely. It's something serious. We were talking about it earlier, and I was saying I've got a friend who works at the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital, and he was telling me that basically they've opened a new ward specifically for coronavirus. They've all had to have training to have, you know, this specialist, I say specialist, clothing for it. But he said it's not really that specialist. It's basically just some gloves and a face mask. So it's not anything too over the top, not like a bag over your head or anything like you see people doing. But there's obviously something there that's serious. But hopefully as the weather warms up and around the world, as we get hotter temperatures, hopefully that's going to start to kill off this virus and we can have a good season.
I mean, we literally don't know what's going to happen, so it's obviously hard to say, and ultimately it's kind of sports in context of what we're doing day to day, so it's very different situations and things. But I suppose it's hard not to just probably your eyes watering at the ramifications of something like the Formula One season not happening in terms of the money people spend and just the economic impact of it all.
I mean, I didn't... But yeah, I think all the sponsors and the organising, I mean, even... It goes down to hotels, doesn't it? You know, looking at the British Grand Prix, a man of bed and breakfast, probably, that if something was cancelled and how that would affect that. And it's just, it's huge. And I kind of wonder, because the Chinese Grand Prix is still only postponed, I do kind of wonder if that's just for insurance reasons, because I can't see how they're going to fit it in. I mean, MotoGP opening round should have been Sunday just gone. In fact, the Moto2, Moto3, the lower classes were already there so they could race, but MotoGP couldn't go because most of the teams are based in Italy, so then they couldn't get out of Italy. I think they cancelled the next round, which was in Thailand, and they've like redone the calendar three or four times. I think there's a new one that came out today trying to get all the races in. So I think they moved the Texas Grand Prix to later on in the season. So if they're struggling to get out of Italy, I mean, Ferrari may be okay at the moment, but if this lockdown goes on for 3 or 4 weeks, I mean, the engine supplies are Alfa Romeo and Haas and team personnel, and there's soon, what happens if somebody in the paddock gets it? I mean, what happens then? I mean, it's just, I said, it's more important, his health is much more important, but just, it'll be interesting to see where this championship goes. And yeah, I mean, could you have one race in that? I mean, that could be it.
You know, it literally, as I said, we're in the situation where football seasons might get cancelled. And as you say, it's the point at which governments are saying you've got to be quarantined if you've got it and then you've been in contact with a lot of people. And it's not going to take a lot for that to... And it's almost like it's going to happen. But of course, the key thing is we want everyone to be safe. We don't want anyone to be ill. You want the virus to affect as few people as possible. And that is what everyone has to do in terms of their responsibilities. And of course, we'll be looking on it all in terms of objectivity and how it affects Formula One and our passion, which is following the sport. So we will see how it all pans out. And wherever you're listening to this, we hope, of course, you stay safe and everyone and all your loved ones are well and also stay safe. The other news topic we should touch on, it's always amusing when big news stories break in Formula One and then you have the mainstream media trying to cover them and explain them to the general public who probably don't care or can't figure it out. But we had the issue where 7 of the 10 teams wrote a letter, because that's what you do, complaining to the FIA about their dealings with Ferrari and their engine from last year. As I worked it out, it's basically there were issues with the engine, of course, as we know, it was being looked at. Ferrari and the FIA came to a settlement sort of behind everyone's backs in terms of not being punished but not being happy with it, and just sort of settled it financially, did they, and not tell anyone. And the rest of the team's like, well, why haven't you told us about that? That's weird. And clearly there's a lot of suspicion then, because it's Formula One and it's the FIA and Ferrari. And we all know all the jokes about all that.
No, it's definitely a funny situation. I remember going on Twitter on the day, I think it was like 9:30 a.m. or something, and I was going through, and literally the teams, one by one, pretty much on the minute, or, you know, before or just after, had exactly the same thing, a statement from, you know, 1-2-3 Formula One team. And then it had exactly the same thing written in every single statement, basically. And it was just like, you know, they're all teamed up here to get an answer from the FIA for, you know, over Ferrari. And I'm sure it's not going to be the end of it. We're going to hear more, I'm sure. But I think just we need to draw a line under it, and they need to say, let's concentrate on the season. They've said, you know, they've done what they can, basically, the FIA. And if they basically say we can't find a reason that there should be a problem with it, you know, we can't prove that there's an issue, or, you know, with the Ferrari engine, but we suspect there is, what can they do? Yes.
I mean, what? Because the teams have all said they've instigated legal action, I think, haven't they? So, I mean, it does make it sound like it's not going to go away particularly soon.
No, it's going to drag on for ages.
And it's almost like they're trying to prove a point, I suppose.
Yeah, but if I didn't help themselves by releasing the, was it like 6 o'clock? It was like the last hour of testing was on the Friday, and I mean, that doesn't help on the great suspicion itself, doesn't it? At that sort of time. But yeah, I mean, they could have. They may have been. Yeah, we just don't know, really. And it's, like you said, it's kind of just gone with it, really. It's sort of last season, obviously. You kind of, hopefully, you trust the FIA that they are making the right decisions. But just the whole surroundings and how they've done it has just created the suspicion. I did wonder who actually, I'd like to know who actually wrote the statement, the sort of joint statement, and just whether it was just sort of sent around and just ticked off by everybody.
Toto Wolff wrote it, and then are you all happy with this? Yeah.
Just leave some blank spaces in where you can fill in your team name.
Yeah, insert name here. A few tweets have gone out like that. Well, we'll keep an eye on that as well. I'm sure it won't be the last we hear of it. So at this point, we'll have a look ahead to the next race. Of course, in this case, the first race, 21 race season, because China is still postponed.
This is a funny thing. It's a record, you know, supposed to be a record-breaking long season. It could be a record-breaking short season.
Yeah. And I think we've attempted 21 races before and not made it, haven't we, in the past? So yeah. There we go. But it is Australia. As we touched on earlier, Melbourne, it's a cracking race. It does seem to sort of sit on its own a little bit, doesn't it? The things we get from this race are not necessarily the patterns for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's an odd circuit, the, you know, being part street circuit and always being very green because it's, you know, not used all year round and everything, and the temperatures aren't always the highest there this time of year. It's always a bit of a guessing game for the order, but Mercedes usually are pretty strong, but the big thing, it's magic. I don't know if it's just me, but part of me enjoys waking up at 5, 6am and watching the race. We're actually away in London this weekend, and I've already said to my girlfriend, will your parents mind if I get up at 5, 6am and watch the race on their TV? And I was like, you've got to make sure if we're going this weekend, they're aware that's going to happen because I'm doing it.
And qualifying as well is, I mean, everything takes on an extra significance, doesn't it, for the opening race?
Yeah, just after all this testing, it's kind of like, okay, this is actually what we've got. We've had the fun of 2 weeks of trying to play behind. Oh, we could be quick, we may be quick.
Oh, we're sandbagging.
Yes, and all that. So there you go, this is it. And Melbourne is a big quality sporting city. There's so many good crowd there, which may be the biggest crowd of the season.
Well, I mean, I was going to ask, most important weekend four is the question we usually ask. I mean, I suppose in general, it's the world to see if we can. I mean, it will be interesting how a sporting event like this carries off. We haven't really. I was trying to think, but there's nothing like this that's happened probably in the last few months, really, is there? I can think of to this extent.
Not a world.
No, I mean, Australia just hosted the 2020 World Cup, and that was the biggest event. I mean, Six Nations is the only other thing that's going on at the minute, which is obviously only Europe.
And it's also half postponed.
Yeah. Otherwise, I don't think there's anything massive. And we've got the Olympics and the Euro supposed to be later this year. So there's massive tournaments coming up, but no one knows if they're going to go ahead.
I hope we're not coming across as scaremongering. It's literally just, it's a discussion point. We just don't know, do we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it is all anyone's talking about.
It's true, yeah.
Okay. At this point, we'll offer our predictions. As I say, we're not quite sure what we're going to do prediction league-wise this season. So no prizes, none of that shenanigans at the moment. So we will work through last year's. I can assure you we will do that. But as for this year's, we'll just have it for a bit of fun, if we may. Mercedes won't win the first race of the season. There you go. Just to throw it out there. That's my prediction, which would be ridiculous.
Is that because reliability, or they just won't be?
I think there's a bit of reliability, and there's just this unknown factor in terms of the opening race. I could see Red Bull, you know, just for pulling it off without any particular logic to it, and maybe then Mercedes will win the next 10 races straight. But there we go. How about you, Rich?
I want to predict Daniel Ricciardo will be in a top four position, but will retire from the race due to reliability.
Ouch. That'll wipe a smile off his face.
Poor Rossi. I was going to go for a Danny Rick prediction.
You still can.
They'll have a really good qualifying. They'll qualify fourth.
Oh.
I'll qualify fourth. Yes.
Qualify fourth. Still not on the podium, then.
Still on the podium,
In his home race, bless him. Fantastic. At this point, we tended to discuss Fantasy League. I don't know if we're going to bother doing that this year. It's sort of been an afterthought, really.
If I have time, when their internet gets switched on, I will create an NRF1 league.
Well done, Rich.
And we'll tweet it out or something.
We'll disseminate the information. We've got loads of people helping us look after the pod this year, so if we do that, we'll do it. Which is always exciting. Might as well give it a go. Let us know if you're doing one as well, and then we'll get involved in your leagues, and you can get involved in ours and all that sort of thing. But oh, go on.
I was going to say, I assume it's the same sort of...
Are they doing it this year? I assume so.
Yeah, I assume it's the same style.
Probably a money
spinner. Five drivers, five drivers and,
And a constructor. Five drivers, a constructor. Yeah, I can't remember who I put in, but I think I put in Hamilton, Norris, Russell, Perez and...
Roman Grosjean.
No, someone else. It might have been Ricciardo. It might not have been.
Good shout.
I think my first pick, Ocon, I think my first pick. Whoa. It's a Renault for a decent season. Yeah. Ocon, might be a little bit cheaper.
One to watch. I like that, Esteban Ocon. Welcome back to Formula One. Hopefully he doesn't get an S ruck with Max again. In that case, I think we're done for our opening pod of the season. How terribly exciting. Let's hope there's loads more to come. We will return with E261. That's episode 261. That will be our Australian Grand Prix review shortly after round one of the 2020 Formula One World Championship. In the meantime, a big thank you to the Rush Cutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich, and it's goodbye from myself. Good night to you. Goodbye from the two who joined me tonight. Thanks, Kyle.
Cheerio.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, all you guys and girls, for listening. We always appreciate it. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We will see you after Melbourne. Stay safe, still. Stay healthy, and we'll see you on the other side. Until then, a very good night to you.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.